What is going on, Tan and J Man Show Nation? It's Monday night. It's May 11th, 2026. Episode 494 of the Tan and J Man Show is live on the ISC Sports Network, as well as their YouTube channel, their Twitch channel, and online at iscsportsnetwork.com, and live on the Tan and J Man Show Facebook page and YouTube channel. Hit that like button, that subscribe button, that notification bell, all those things. If you haven't already, so you know when we're going live each and every Monday night. I'm Tanner Lee, on screen with me, like always, a state over to the west, Josh the J-Man Mont.
How are we doing, J-Man? Reporting for duty.
Yeah. I'm doing all right. I saw yesterday in the Chicagoland was the last sunset that was pre 8 o'clock until August.
Now we're talking.
Staying lighter later. It's getting warm. It's supposed to be a little chillier this week here. But by the weekend, back mid to upper 70s.
I like it. Especially for people who have pools like yourself and myself. It costs a lot of money and a lot of frustrations at times to get them open and get them running correctly. So let's use them.
I've been dreading pool season for months now. I was even thinking in March, like, all right, I got 2 months to relax. Yep. And here we are. I'm opening her up Saturday. So.
Yeah, ours has been open for 2 weeks. But now, as of today, I think it's finally running properly with the help of our pool company. We use a service because we had two lines that were getting air into them.
That
were screwing everything up.
Never good. Yeah. My pool last year moved in, and you know the story. I move in. Previous owner did nothing, and I inherited a swamp in the middle of July when it's 90-something degrees out, and it took me about a month to get that thing to where I could swim. And I swam in it maybe 3 or 4 times last year. This year, I said, screw it. We're draining it on Saturday. We're going to clean it out, refill it up. So
there you go.
Shouldn't have to fight it too much this year. Hopefully.
No, that's probably the way to go.
Yep.
So, yeah. Did you bring some birdie or bogey trivia with you?
I did. You might have seen this.
Probably not. You say it every time, and I never do.
Well, you did that one time.
That's true.
It is a sports geography question, which we've had in times past.
Yep.
What is the largest city according to population that does not have one of the 4 major sports leagues in it, either the NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL.
You know, I think I saw this a couple weeks ago, but honest to God, I can't remember who it is right now. So I'm going to have to really think.
Yeah, I saw it a few weeks ago as well. And I saved it hoping you wouldn't.
So which city does not have the 4?
Yeah. That has the most people in the U.S. Yeah. that does not have one. So birdie or bogey is brought to you by Giretti's Place. Small town vibes, big time flavor. Giretti's Place serves up fresh breakfast and lunch favorites that keep you coming back for more. Located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana.
Yes, and Arlington Public House as well. Upscale cuisine with a upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere. Both places have had a lot of specials going on lately. Yep. And Arlington Public House is looking for part-time bartenders and servers to work Thursday through Saturday evenings. So stop into Giretti's or Arlington Public House to fill out an application. Over the weekend for Mother's Day, they had some specials. They had roasted garlic and crushed red pepper shrimp, bucatini. Jeez, I cannot read. And they had some drink specials as well. And then Taco Tuesdays. They're back with Taco Tuesdays.
Taco Tuesday!
Firecracker, shrimp tacos, slow-cooked birria tacos. Just $3 a piece. Mm. Half-price margaritas.
I love some birria tacos. That's for sure.
I like them too.
I dip it in the consomme.
Is that what it's called?
I think that's how you pronounce it. Yeah.
Sounds good to me. Yeah. I just know I like the flavor.
Me too.
And Dreddy's Place, Thursday through Saturday, they got specials going on. They got Mexican chicken street tacos, cheese curd burgers. And their soup lineup every day is loaded baked potato, of course. Thursday's chicken and wild rice. Friday, cactus chili. And Saturday, broccoli cheddar. So there you go. And their Wednesday specials for May, they got a Waldorf chicken salad. And then their soup of the day is low baked potato and chicken and dumpling.
You're a fan of their loaded baked potato. I know that.
I am. I like pretty much every soup they got. So, yeah. Yep. Can't go wrong. It's a good spot. Hit them up. 701 and 703 Main Street. Connected right by each other. So, we got a lot to cover tonight, J-Man. We got MLB season like we're going to have until October. We have NBA playoffs going on that some series are about to wrap up.
One already has.
Yeah, we should know the conference finals by – we will, I think, know them by this time next week. We'll talk a little bit about the draft lottery with the Pacers getting – a lot of people saying the Pacers are getting the shaft. I want your thoughts on NCAA tournament expansion and potential college football playoff expansion. NFL schedule release coming out on Thursday. And we got the PGA Championship this
week. Bang!
Later part this week, the second major of four. So
that's crazy.
A lot to go over tonight. Yeah. I thought we'd start with baseball.
Baseball.
Cubs are playing well still.
Yeah. You know, they had their second 10-game winning streak of the season. Second separate 10-game winning streak, which they're the first team, one of the first teams ever to do that all before the end of May. Yeah, they're playing very good baseball. I wouldn't say they played all that well this week. They had to come back every single game against the Cincinnati Redlegs, starting with Monday night, came back to tie it in the ninth inning, and then Michael Conforto hits a walk-off homer. Then in the on Tuesday, Michael Busch hits a homer to tie it in the eighth. Michael Busch hits a walk-off single, should have been an error on Ellie De La Cruz at short. Cubs win. Then the craziest game Cubs have played all season happened on Wednesday, where Cubs got up. They were in control pretty much the whole time. I think they were up 4-2 heading into the top of the ninth inning. Cubs have had so many injuries with their bullpen, and their closer Daniel Palencia just came back, and he had pitched on a Tuesday night, so they didn't want to have him go back to back nights, just kind of ease him in. So they put in Corbin Martin, which immediately everyone's like, why this guy? Literally anyone in the bullpen would have been better than him. Sure enough, gives up a leadoff homer. Then back-to-back singles, they yank him. I didn't record an out. Next thing you know, Reds tie the game, and then Ellie De La Cruz flies up to the wall. Seiya Suzuki falls down. So one run scores on a sack fly. The second guy on second base, Matt McClain, scores on that same sack fly. So it was a 2 RBI sack fly. Cubs are down 2. I thought, their luck was bound to, you know, end eventually. Then in the ninth, bottom half, Carson Kelly hits a single. And then Pete Crow Armstrong, with the best at bat he's had all season, fouled off a bunch of tough pitches. It's a 2-run homer to tie it. And then they end up walking off on a walk-off walk in the 10th. And then Thursday, they handled them pretty easily. It's almost like the Cubs broke them a little bit. But they're playing some good baseball. You know, they had won 10 in a row, and now they are currently on a 20-inning scoreless streak. That's just the way baseball can turn on a dime, for you there. And now it feels like, not for me anyway, I'm pretty even keel, but, for some people, the sky is falling, after, you know, they were just 27-12 and all of a sudden they haven't scored in 20 innings. And, they faced Jacob DeGrom yesterday, who was vintage Jacob DeGrom. Big week for them this week, where they go to Atlanta for 3, who I think currently has the best record in baseball. Cubs did for a day. They're a game behind the Atlanta Braves for best record in baseball. And then they come home to Chicago, where they do have to play at the guaranteed rate on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday against the upstart Chicago White Sox. But
the White Sox Super Bowl. And yeah. I got to pass this trivia question along to you. You kind of mentioned it earlier, the Cubs being the first team in many years to have two separate 10-game win streaks before the month of May. Good friend of the show, diehard White Sox fan, newly diehard White Sox fan in the last 5 years. Yeah. But, hey, he is a diehard White Sox fan.
Yes.
Aaron Lynch wanted me to give you this for birdie or bogey this week, and I said I don't have it, but I thought I might hold it in the holster. But it's so hard, I don't feel like it's fair to be a birdie or bogey, so I'm throwing that to you right now. Can you name the other four teams to have won, had two different 10-game win streaks before
the end of May? I saw them just when it came up, but I don't remember. Give me like the year and I'll see if
1955 was the last time before the Cubs.
Cleveland Indians. I don't know.
Brooklyn Dodgers. They went 98, 55, and one and won the World Series. Yeah. Before that, 1941.
Yankees.
St. Louis Cardinals. They went 97, 56, and two, second place in the National League. Before that, 1887.
1887. I'm going to go with the Chicago White Stockings.
The St. Louis Browns. Oh. They went 95, 40, and three, and won the American Association. Yeah. And before that, 1880.
No idea.
The Chicago White Stockings.
Oh, man.
67, 17, and two, and won the National League.
Yeah, it's been a pretty incredible run over that 10 in the I mean, they won 20 of 23 games. And in that stretch, they were losing entering the eighth inning four times. I think it ended up being five times, actually. So they're showing their resilience. They had some bad pitching news again. They lost Cade Horton, their best starter for the season on week two or game two, I should say, start two for him. And then Justin Steele had a setback, so he's not even going to be back until after the All-Star break. And then Matthew Boyd, who was their opening day starter, tore his meniscus playing with his kids.
I did hear about that.
Yeah, on Tuesday or Wednesday. So they're trying to piece together a pitching staff. They've had a ton of injuries in the bullpen. But they're just hanging in there. I mean, they're keeping them in games. Jameson Taillon's been solid. Shota Imanaga's been fantastic so far. Edward Cabrera had been good up until Saturday. He got knocked around a little bit. Colin Ray's filled in just like he did last year when Justin Steele went down. He's been good. Ben Brown threw four perfect innings to start a game on Friday. So they're getting contributions from everyone up and down the lineup too. Michael Bush has really heated up. Pete Crow Armstrong, who was off to a really bad start, has really been very, very good. Nico Horner's been good. You name it, they've been good. Besides really Alex Bregman, he's kind of been the guy in this stretch that he hasn't really hit all that much. He's a vet that'll turn it around. Feeling very good about the way hopefully the summer will progress. And I'm sure the Cubs will be definitely very involved in the starting pitching trade market this year that they should have been last year, but they couldn't pull the trigger because some of the asking prices were astronomical. So hopefully it's more of a seller's market or hopefully more of a buyer's market this year for the Cubs' sake.
Coming up this week, you said Braves and White Sox. What do they got to do this week record-wise to make – not necessarily yourself, but those Cub fans that think the sky is falling all of a sudden after going 20 scoreless innings to calm down a little bit.
You know, those people would be upset with anything less than 6-0, to be honest. They're just people that are never happy. For me personally, I'm going into Atlanta. Just don't get swept. Find a way to win one.
Yep.
They're the team with the best. I mean, they have the best record in baseball. Their offense is better. Their pitching staff's a little better. So find a way to win one. And it's a place the Cubs haven't played all that well either. And it's kind of a house of horrors. Then hopefully they can find a way to win two or three against the White Sox, who have been pitching really, really well, which is kind of interesting because I always thought their pitching would be the one concern for them. But they're getting good contributions up and down the lineup from, you know, the Japanese fella there whose name's escaping me. And then Colson Montgomery, who's an Indiana guy, in that lineup. So they're a better team. Aaron actually was texting me a little bit about the White Sox today. Said, I wish this game was later in the season so the White Sox could be at 500. And I'm thinking, I think they're as close to 500 right now as they're going to get all year.
Yeah.
No offense to you, Aaron, but
he did tell me he thinks the Cubs will sweep them.
That's what he said to me too. He said he's expecting a sweep where the Cubs are plus 15 in the run differential for the weekend. So, but we'll see how it goes. I'm enjoying the ride right now.
So you're saying they go 3-3 this week?
I think honestly, with any road stretch, hoping to get 500. I mean, you play 500 on the road. Over 500 at home, which Cubs have won 15 in a row at Wrigley, which is
do you ever remember that happening in your lifetime?
No, it hasn't happened in my lifetime. Okay. I don't think it's happened since the 40s, I want to say. They had won, I think, 11 in a row at home in 2016. 2008, they had a long home win streak, but I don't – they definitely haven't won outside of 2008 and 2016, 15-ish, seven. I guess really from 15 to 20, they were pretty good. But for the most part, they stunk. So there haven't been too many opportunities. But, yeah, 15 in a row, Wrigley, I've never seen anything like it. It's just – the place has been rocking, which it always is. It's always, you know, the best atmosphere in baseball day in and day out, regardless of day or time of day or anything like that. It's always going to have close to 40,000. They're going to be loud as heck. And they've obviously had a lot to cheer for at Wrigley this year. But, just enjoying the ride.
Is that the smallest ballpark in the league?
No. I would say it's middle of the pack.
Okay.
Tampa Bay is smaller, I'm pretty sure. They hold 41,000, so I think they're probably middle of pack toward – they might even be upper half.
They're 14th.
14th. So
41,649.
Barely upper half, but I thought
– Tropicana holds more.
Tropicana holds more, okay.
42,735.
Seems like they hold less because less people show up. Nobody shows up. What is the smallest?
Well, it looks like
currently it's where the A's play, obviously.
Progressive Field in Cleveland holds 34,820.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then the Marlins holds 37 right on the dot. Fenway only holds 37,755.
Yeah, I knew Fenway was smaller.
Kauffman, which is getting replaced, I think.
Yeah.
In the near future. Target Field, PNC, Petco, Globe Life. Guarantee rate.
Wrigley seems smaller than those because there's only two decks. You know, there's only two levels on the main field or in foul territory. Where, like, even PNC, you got kind of three levels up. A lot of these places have three levels up. But there's significantly less space in the outfield where Wrigley, you know, the bleachers are packed and holds a lot more than a lot of places do in the outfield.
Dodger Stadium is by far number one. It's the only one in the 50s, 56,353. Chase Field's number two. 48,330.
That's a big one.
Seattle, 47,368. And Coors Field, number four.
I can see that.
46,897.
Yeah.
Then Yankee Stadium rounds out number five.
Yeah. I could definitely see all those. Has
one less seat than Coors Field.
I'm sure they did that on purpose, too.
Probably.
The
Yankee Stadium was built after
Coors. I was
going to
say
the newer one.
Coors was built first.
Yeah.
I've been to Chase Field and Seattle. I think it's T-Mobile Park.
T-Mobile Park.
Used to be Safeco. Yeah. But T-Mobile Park's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. And Chase Field feels like you're watching baseball in like an Amazon warehouse facility, kind of.
Been there for a concert. So, which was weird for a concert too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I've actually seen concerts at Chase Field and Wrigley Field.
Huh. And State Farm Center. Home of the
that's very true.
Final Four Illini.
There you go. Hey, I'll let you get your flowers. But anything else baseball related you wanted to hit on?
Going through the league, not a whole lot's really happened. Every team in the NL Central continues to be over 500, where every team in the AL Central is 500 or worse. So it's completely flipped. But other than that, not a whole lot going on in May, really. You'll see trade rumors start to heat up late next month into July, obviously. So it's just kind of staying afloat until then. Because, I mean, people are saying, why don't the Cubs make a move now? And I'm like, it takes two to tango,
right?
In a trade, they're going to ask for the world because you have no leverage asking for a trade now. Plus, teams are still trying. You know, even bad teams still haven't given up hope. Honestly, the Nationals in 2019 has kind of ruined the thinking because they were like 12 games under 500 about this point, and they ended up, you know, playing well and winning the World Series. So they're like, if they can do it, we can do it, sort of thing. They're still trying to put butts in the seats too, where come late July, you're like, all right, we're way out of it. We need to get better for the future. But I don't think a whole lot of trade activity is going to happen.
Yeah, it's not MLB the show when it comes to trades.
I wish it was.
I'm sure you do. Yeah. I'm sure you do. Well, do you want to get educated?
Always. On this
fantastic May 11th day. Let's see what happened on this day in sports history. A lot of Kentucky Derby.
I saw the winner of the Kentucky Derby is not going to play in the Belmont. They're going to hold out for the Preakness run, whatever. not going to play.
This keeps happening more and more, it seems like, in horse racing. I'm not a horse racing expert by any means, but just I think they need to push the next race back further.
Definitely.
It's too close together.
Way too close together.
Yep. So, and really, I know the Triple Crown's still a big deal, but we've seen some horses do it now.
Yeah. You
know, within the last decade, 15, 20 years.
Isn't it something stupid? Like 98% of the horses that ran in the Kentucky Derby were related to Secretariat or something like that.
I'll believe you. I have no idea.
I saw that on the Twitter, and you can believe
Sounds good.
You read on the Twitter.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, this day, 1919, Washington Senators future Baseball Hall of Fame ace, Walter Johnson, who we've talked about a lot this year, he pitched 12 scoreless innings in a famous 0-0 duel with Jack Quinn of the New York Yankees at the Polo Grounds.
Yeah, Walter Johnson, one of the greatest to ever slang it.
On this day, 1928, who won the 63rd British Open? Don't know why it was played in May.
28, I couldn't name you a golfer from back then.
How about Walter Hagen?
Nope, I don't think I could.
He won his third of four Open Championships, two strokes ahead of Gene Sarazen. On this day, 1955, New York Yankees catcher Yogi Berra's airless streak of 148 games ended. On this day, 1972, the San Francisco Giants traded Willie Mays to the New York Mets. Pitcher Charlie Williams and cash.
I don't think you'd ever see a legend like that be traded. I mean, you see him be traded, but like in the middle of May, it's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, especially now, it seems very early.
Yeah.
But on this day, 1977, then MLB team owner Ted Turner, who actually just passed away at the age of 87 this past week, he managed an Atlanta Braves baseball game.
Yeah. They were on a 16-game losing streak, and he fired his manager and said, how hard can it be? And the MLB stepped in and said, you cannot do that. It's against the rules. And he goes, they must have made up the rule yesterday then. But he goes on the field full uniform, and he's either Phil or Joe Niekro, who was a pitcher for him, said, where are you hitting me today, Ted? And he said, and Ted goes, you want to hit leadoff, second, third, fourth? I don't care where you hit. We're on a 16-game losing streak. You can hit wherever you want.
Well, cable television would not be as we know it today without Ted Turner. So he's
definitely
not. He was a cable mogul, and he owned the Braves, owned the Hawks. Was big in the professional wrestling world in the 80s and 90s also until he sold to AOL in 2001.
CNN was the first 24-hour cable network.
Yep. Cartoon Network would be. Yep. I mean, there's so many channels.
Turner Classic Movies. Yep.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Very, very true. On this day, 1980, MLB Philadelphia Phillies Pete Rose stole second, third, and home in the same inning. Not too bad.
There's a Twitter account that I've been following recently that it gives random at bats from the 70s or 80s, and it's crazy how different the game is back even just in the 80s. How it looks and how they swing and everything. It's crazy.
On this day, 1996, Florida Marlin Al Leiter. That's a name I haven't thought of in a long time. No hit the Colorado Rockies 11-0.
His son just pitched against the Cubs on Saturday. Jack, I think that's his son. If not his nephew.
A lot of players championship. On this day in 2014, who won the PGA Nope, that's the Players Championship. It says PGA Players Championship. Mm. It's just a Players. I'm not going to ask you on that one. I thought it was PGA Championship. So that's going to do it. There's no on this day after 2014.
Interesting.
So a short list this week, but that's the on this day segment, which is brought to you by Blue River Digital. Blue River Digital is a full-service smart marketing agency. They help businesses simplify marketing and grow with intention. Their focus is on systems, strategy, and long-term results, not hype or one-off tactics. They offer digital marketing, website development, graphic design, printing and direct mail, signage and vehicle graphics, corporate apparel, promotional items, and AI and automations. They work with small, medium, and large businesses spanning across the United States with a strong presence in Northern Indiana. Contact them today at 260-248-2749 to see how they can help you with your digital marketing.
We actually both just got a text from Sean Schreiber here.
I saw my phone vibrate.
A player could get a hit in all 162 games for 26 straight seasons, and he'd still be 44 hits shy of Pete Rose. Friend of the show, Sean Schreiber, always gives us good tidbits.
He sent a good one yesterday that we've talked about before, but it's always good to bring up. Tony Gwynn could have went 0 for 1,199 at the end of his career and still retired as a 300 hitter.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Incredible.
I also saw, I wish I would, I don't want to say it because I'm not 100%, but if you go were to convert all of Barry Bonds' home runs into outs, he'd still have a higher career like on base percentage than Aaron Judge or something like that. Yeah.
We've been living in a fun era.
Yeah.
Baseball.
Yeah.
No. Crazy, man. Crazy. The NBA playoffs still going on. We know the New York Knicks have punched their ticket to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Convincingly so.
Killed the Sixers.
Yeah.
Killed them. Sixers start off good and well in game three. I was at a Buffalo Wild Wings Friday night, my wife and I, and this family. Pitt, University of Pitt, I thought might be in town because they had University of Pittsburgh baseball stuff on, but I checked the Purdue Fort Wayne schedule and it wasn't them. So I don't know. Maybe they were just traveling through, going somewhere else because there was another family with University of Pittsburgh baseball stuff.
Huh.
But anyways, one of the kids at the table was wearing a Joel Embiid jersey. And they had a certain TV to the Sixer game and Sixer Knick game. I was like, oh, that can't say I see Sixer fans all that often. But the Knicks took it to the Sixers who, you know, impressively beat the Celtics in round one. So now the Knicks are a series win away from making the finals for the first time since the late 90s.
Pitt could have been playing Notre Dame on their way back to Pittsburgh. And they're both in the ACC. Are they?
Yeah.
Pitt's in the ACC, right?
Yeah, they are. That could have been it.
Anyway, sorry.
I don't know. I don't know, because the one family passed the other family and said, hey, long time no see. See you tomorrow. So that made me think like
oh.
in Fort Wayne, but unless the schedule is wrong online, I have no idea. No idea. Anyways, that was a long story short to say the Knicks whooped the Sixers.
Yeah. The Knicks were helped out by playing a 7 seed, obviously.
Sure.
But it's not their fault. Oh. That the Celtics couldn't get it done against the Sixers, and now back-to-back years of Eastern Conference Championship appearances for the Knicks.
Yeah, and so. I think they got about the one of the more promising futures in basketball. So
yeah, I think a lot of people thought the Knicks would have made the finals last year, and they ended up not. So because what seed were the Pacers last year? Were they a 4 or 5?
They beat Cleveland in the second round.
Yeah, that's right.
Cleveland was one seed.
So they would have probably been the four. I think they're the
four.
So,
about who they beat as a foul? Milwaukee.
Yeah, Milwaukee, that's right.
Cleveland, New York, and then lost in game 7 to OKC.
Yeah. So Knicks in almost identical situation. Well, if Cleveland can find a way to get it done.
Gotta win tonight.
I think the Knicks will probably be favored to go in my opinion. Maybe it's just because Detroit, you know, just 2 or 3 years ago, they had that 27 game losing streak or something. So that's still fresh in my mind. But then they go and get a 1 seed. But
if Cleveland wins tonight, they knot it all up at 2 games apiece. But if Detroit wins 3-1.
Yeah. After being down 3-1 to Orlando, that'd be quite
quite
a story to get there. But yeah, James Harden was getting a lot of flack for his playing game two, but then he bounced back and had a fantastic game three. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm sure the Knicks are liking this little break.
And I think OKC closes out the Lakers tonight, sweeps them.
I agree. Incredible what LeBron's been able to do.
Yeah, he's trying to put that team on his back, but
without Luka.
And Austin Reeves, is he still hurt?
No, he's back.
Oh, he's back. He's back.
But OKC is just a buzzsaw.
Yeah. Well, the best series easily has been the Minnesota San Antonio.
Yeah, Minnesota was helped out significantly last night with Wimby giving a bow to Naz Reid and getting kicked out early in the first quarter too. So they'll be lucky if he's not suspended again, because that was pretty.
I don't think they'd be able to do it.
I don't think so either. If Wimby had a track record, if he was Draymond, I think they would, or Ron Artest for that matter. They might think about it, but Wimby's for the most part seems like a pretty good guy, and it was just a heat of the battle sort of deal.
Speaking of Draymond, I haven't watched it completely yet, but I saw the highlights today, some highlights. Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson roasted Draymond pretty good in the Kevin Hart roast last night. So,
I've seen a few clips of the roast.
I'm going to have to check that out. I usually enjoy, not all roasts, but I like roasts Kevin Hart. Roasts are pretty good, But, yeah, I still think Detroit gets it done. I think it's Detroit and New York.
Yeah.
And I still think San Antonio finds a way to get it done.
I agree.
San Antonio and OKC.
I agree. I think my book at last week was that all of the higher seeds, the better seeds, would advance, and we're on track, kind of. I mean, San Antonio and Minnesota are tied at two, but I think that still tracks with what it will be.
So. Daryl Love on Facebook said Wimby MVP.
Yeah, he's pretty good. I mean, I've always kind of liked the Spurs a little bit, and I'm glad to see him back in prominence. So,
back with a whole different group.
Yeah, young group too.
Different staff too.
You got Stephon Castle there, who was obviously out of UConn. You have De'Aaron Fox. You have Wimby. You have Harper. Then you have the wily old vet Harrison Barnes.
Yep,
there as well. So they have a good mix.
Another thing in the NBA I wanted to discuss was the draft lottery took place yesterday, which I've always hated the draft lottery. I think it's stupid. I think it's rigged. I think it's been rigged for a long time.
Yeah.
And the Pacers threw this huge draft party yesterday, which a lot of teams do anyways. You know, they took a gamble midseason, trading for a starting center to the Clippers, knowing there was a possibility they weren't going to get this pick. It needed to land in the top four, but everybody thought it was going to. Heck, they might get number one. It was going to be their first top four pick since 1988. Nope. Ping pong ball comes up fifth. So that pick's going to the Clippers, and the Pacers don't have any pick in the first round after winning 19 games.
That's rough. That's rough. you don't know what Halliburton's going to be like next year. You obviously don't have Miles Turner anymore, so that's a rough, especially in a generational type draft too, that you have guys that'll be going in the 6-7 spot when a lot of drafts they'd probably be going in the top three, you know. That's a rough break.
Well, and like the Pacers, I feel like are in a 2-3 year window, and that window's closing. And like you said, Halliburton, you hope to think he's close, if not back to what he was when he comes back. They're supposedly going to be aggressive in the offseason with free agent signings and in trade, but historically the Pacers don't get a lot of free agent signings.
Yeah, so it's not really a destination.
I unfortunately think their window's probably closed already. And there was an unfortunate injury that took this season away, and still could have taken an NBA title away from him last year. Absolutely. We don't know. It was in the first half. So,
I think the draft lottery has been rigged forever. I mean, the Bulls getting the number one pick when Derrick Rose was there. Dallas getting the number one overall pick last year after trading Luka. It was kind of like a, here you go, send Luka to arguably our most iconic franchise. We'll give you the number one overall pick.
Kyrie going to the Cavaliers after LeBron left Cleveland. Yeah. Anthony Davis going to the Pelicans when the NBA owned the team.
Yeah.
On the rights. Yeah. Heck, I could even – the Bulls getting the top five pick yesterday. We're getting the top four picks. Like, I think the NBA wants and understandably so, they want Chicago to be good.
Yeah, the Bulls did it. They finally hired what looks to be on the outside a competent guy to run the show there. I forget his name. But last time the Bulls picked in the top four, they picked fourth, and they took Patrick Williams, who was a bench guy out of Florida State, who had a mediocre freshman year, but they liked his upside, and his upside never hit. He's averaged 9 points a game. That's the thing that makes me that frustrates me about the NBA is sometimes they look too much at, you know, their length or their youth, stuff like that. Pick a good basketball player. There was zero evidence Patrick Williams was a good basketball player. They just liked his height, his athleticism, his upside, his youth, and all of that, and it didn't pan out. So,
I mean, I remember when the Bulls took Tyrus Thomas, number two overall.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, too much. Yeah, like you said, too much. Oh, this guy's going to be this in 3 years.
Well, no. I even go back to Io DeSumo falling to the second round. Like, obviously, that's just me being an Illinois fan. But you do a redraft, and he's a lottery pick.
Yeah.
So they overthink it so much, and it's mind-numbing.
The Wizards get the number one pick.
Yeah.
They've been god-awful for a long time.
Long time.
Jazz number two, Grizzlies number three.
Yeah.
So all deservingly, they were pretty bad.
But yeah.
Yeah. But my blind rankings is NBA draft related. I got five different number one overall NBA draft picks.
All right.
I'll say since 2000. And all right. You rank them. Starting with the number one pick last year in the 2025 draft, Cooper Flagg to the Dallas Mavericks.
I think he's going to be a perennial all-star. He's already very, very good. I don't know who will win Rookie of the Year, but I'm sure he's in the top three. Him and his college teammate, Konkan Nipple, probably also in that top three mix. Hard to believe they're on the same team. I do believe it because I saw them beat Illinois by 45 last year. So that was ugly. But anyway, I'm going to do the stupid cop-out and put him third.
Put him three. Yeah. And I'm going to bounce around. I'm not going in backwards in chronological order or anything. So 2009, Blake Griffin to the Clippers.
Mm, he was fun to watch. You were a Blake guy there.
Yeah, I had a jersey of Blake. Yeah.
He kind of, I mean,
his he made me mad in college. And his Oklahoma Sooners made me break a phone in 08, but
He tore his ACL before his rookie year, and he had to sit out his entire rookie year. And then he took the league by storm, you know, jumping over people. And he had some of the best dunks we've still seen this century.
Yeah. And in-game dunker was stupid.
He was one of the best in-game dunkers we've
seen. In dunk contest, he was amazing in 2011. And dunk jumped over the car.
Yeah. Those were good Clippers teams, too, that never won anything.
Yep.
Chris Paul's a loser. But anyway, I'm going to put him at two.
Two. Yeah, he kind of, you know, some people thought he was ring chasing, and then he didn't really ever go to a good team, though.
No.
The Pistons, they weren't very good. He went to the Nets.
Yeah, he kind of he reworked his game and became more of an outside shooter and different
his
sort
knees
of player.
Towards the end. Where, he's a good commentator. I think he does a good job on Prime.
He's good. Just he's a funny guy, too.
He is. Like, he is.
He goes on podcasts, and you're like, man, this guy's pretty funny.
Yep. So, 2010, John Wall to the Wizards.
Injuries kind of ruined. He's kind of a what could have been sort of deal. He had a bunch of injuries. He had maybe one of the most hyped high school players coming into college that I can remember. And of course he had a song, you know, named
I just hear in my head every time I hear his name.
I'm gonna put him at four.
And he got Kentucky. What did they get to the Final Four that year? Or was Elite Eight?
I don't remember. Anthony Davis got him there in one. That was two years later after that. But man, that Kentucky team was loaded with him and Boogie Cousins and a couple other guys around that team too that were really good.
Yep. Zion Williamson in 2019.
This could go very poorly, but I don't want to put bus label on him, but here we are 5 or 6 years later, and I don't know if he's played 50 games in a season. I'm sure he has, but he's been injured.
A lot of off the court distractions.
He's gotten fat, and then he's gotten skinny, and then he's gotten fat again. So he looks like he's is perceived as kind of lazy and doesn't take care of his body. Again, can't stay healthy. He's been on a bad team. I'll put him 5, but this could backfire if you throw me an Anthony Bennett or something.
I don't have an Anthony Bennett in the chamber. Right. But 2004, Dwight Howard to the Magic.
Okay, obviously he's going to go at my one spot.
I thought he was a bust for the first 3 or 4 years of his career.
Yeah.
They should have taken Omeka, who went number 2 to the Bobcats.
Yeah. Then Dwight turns out to a Hall of Fame level, big guy. So yes. Re-rank, I think I'm going to keep him right where it is.
Yeah, I think he did a good job. Flag's only 1 year. I'd maybe switch him and Blake, but he's only been in the league 1 year.
And that's part of my thing. Yeah. I think Flag has a chance to be, if in a re-rank in 10 years from now, put him at 1 in this.
Absolutely.
Ranking. But absolutely. I think 3 is a good spot because it's only been a year.
Yep.
That was a good list.
Yep. Good job with handling this week's blind ranking segment, which is brought to you by Performer Print 2 Promo Group. Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs. You need to look no further. So if you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or a sales meeting in 2026, let them be your one source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. All right, moving down on my list. Yeah, I actually made a list this week. That's nice. How organized I
feel. Yeah, a lot more to this show than I gave this week.
I usually don't, but I felt like I had a lot of things I want to talk about. I was like, if I don't write it down, we're going to miss something. So the NCAA tournament officially announced it's expanding from 68 to 76 teams. While also in the same breath, the college football playoff is thinking about expanding from 12 and doubling it to 24.
Yeah.
Both cases, thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs up for one, thumbs down for one. How are you feeling?
I'm going to pull a Kevin Malone, 2 thumbs down. it's stupid. I can handle the college basketball one being expanded because it's not going to change really that much because you're just going to have play-in games for, 12 seeds and stuff like that. The college football one, 24, their bowl games will be nothing. They'll cease to exist, in my opinion. If 24,
I think you can keep like a handful of bowls. Like this is going to be like back in the day, like in the 60s when there was a handful of bowls and that was it.
Yeah, you're 24. Hate. It's all about money. They don't care about us. They don't care about the teams. They don't care about anything.
That's why I titled this podcast "When's Enough Enough."
It's going to keep happening, stuff like this. Before long, we're going to have 100 teams in the NCAA tourney. I think 24 should be the end because then you have a top 25, obviously, and then 24 teams kind of makes sense on the surface for college football. But I hate it. The NCAA tourney being expanded, hate it as well. I think it's going to water it down a little bit because you're going to have some pretty mediocre teams in there. That should never like Auburn would have been easily in. Indiana would have been in. And going back, I don't think I even said this a few weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, whenever the season ended. But I give credit to Auburn because they, were trying to sell themselves to the committee. They didn't make it. They go in, win the NIT. So credit to them. Shouldn't have been in the NCAA tourney, but they would be. If the thing was expanded to 76. I don't remember being all that upset when they expanded it to 68.
I didn't like it, but I was like, it's 4 more teams.
Yeah, it's not going to change that much. This is going to change some. It's going to change the schedule. I think I haven't heard anything. Have you heard anything about what the schedule could be like?
I thought it eliminates the first 4 now.
So the Thursday, Friday is going to be...
I don't know. I thought I read that somewhere.
Or is all of it going to be Tuesday, Wednesday, and then you have your normal Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
See, and Ray Davis on Facebook put two thumbs down, said especially for the women's NCAA. And he brings up a good point for both the women's and I can say also for the men's. He said there isn't 65 women's teams unless you are going to reward this, the mid-level conference champions, an automatic bid. I would be okay with it if they do reward the mid-levels that had won the regular season but lost their conference tournament. But you and me both know they're not going
They're not going to.
Exactly.
They're going to bring in the moneymakers.
Yep.
They don't care.
Nope.
No, I'm 100% with you. Expand it if it means you're going to have more at-large mid-majors. Like, as you said, Miami of Ohio wasn't at-large.
Yep.
But you have other teams. I mean, Belmont's been good for a long time, and they've never been an at-large. Teams like that. Sure, they have a chance to, you know, make the NCAA tourney and maybe make a little bit of noise.
Right.
But it's going to put in, you know, the middle of the pack to bottom half of power leagues that make it. Teams like Auburn or Indiana or Oklahoma or stuff like that from this past season.
Well, and going to the college football playoff, if they do expand from 12 to 24, I mean, that's a big jump. And we're not just going like 14 or 16 or 18. I don't know. I mean, of course, the Power Four conferences want more of their teams, and especially the Big Ten, even though we're Big Ten guys, they want
Big
more.
Big Ten, SEC, those teams, they want more.
But you're going to have to reward other G5 teams, too.
Definitely.
And you're going to have to start this thing pretty early.
Yeah, well, it's going to eliminate conference championship games.
Which I'm fine with that. Get rid of them anymore. Yeah, they used to serve a purpose, not anymore.
No longer. I think it has to start dang near immediately, in my opinion, because you can't be playing college football games into February. And that's the way it's trending anyway. Right. Started immediately.
Well, and if this happens, if this sticks, I could see in the future delaying the start of college basketball season.
I would hate that. Absolutely hate that.
I mean, you know, I could easily see that.
Now going to be having April Madness instead of March Madness. One thing that kind of sucks as well is now those rivalry games last game of the year going to mean very little. Ohio State, Michigan, they're going to be holding players out.
Yeah. And that's my biggest gripe with all the change of college athletics. We're losing traditions left and right, and nobody cares, and it sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks. Like the Indiana team today that visited the White House, which they did, if not everybody knows, they gave – President Donald Trump a helmet and his own Trump personalized Indiana jersey, and I'm going to stop it there. Don't want to go down a rabbit hole.
But serve him Wendy's or McDonald's or whatever he did.
Maybe.
A few years ago. I forget who it was.
He pretty much said he loves himself some Kurt Cignetti, which, of course. But, where was I going with? Oh, here's where I was going with this. I've said this before on the podcast. Like, I should hate Fernando Mendoza's guts and a lot of those guys on that team.
Yeah.
But I don't, because a lot of them were only there for a year, maybe 2 years.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to watch them over 3 or 4 years and develop that hatred through a fan rivalry. You know, I just wish we could go back in time with college sports.
Yeah.
I
wish we knew we were in the good old days.
While we're still in them.
While we're still in them.
Yeah. Ray Davis on Facebook says just evidence that they don't care about the academics for the college athletes because of all the travel time.
They're pros now. That's the reality situation. It was a joke, you know, 10 years ago, Cardale Jones, they didn't come here to play school. That literally is what it is.
Yep.
In fact, the famous, I forget his name, but he's the agent of Nikola Jokic. He's the agent of all of the Illinois Balkans. He said, why would I have them visit the school? If the basketball's good, I'm going to send them there. That's what he said.
Yeah.
And that's the reality of the situation. They are professional athletes that just happened to be out of school.
Now, do you think for a college football playoff, it weeds out like a dark horse within the 24 of winning it? Like, do you think more times than not, the legit best team will now win?
I think that was the case for a long time anyway, but I think this furthers it. It's so much more difficult for a Cinderella type story in football than it is basketball.
Sure.
And I think absolutely this hinders it significantly further.
I did too. Like, I mean, being 24 teams, a horrible program right now, like a Purdue, if they would strike magic 5 years from now, maybe they could get in the playoff, but are they going to win it all?
I think
probably not.
Illinois this season ended ranked.
They would, yeah, they would have been
23rd. They probably would have been in.
So, I mean, from that standpoint, it's fun, but it's like still, you'd rather win it 12 teams than 24. You know,
it also changes expectations. We're just making the playoffs no longer good enough. You got to win it.
Ray Davis says, "Will this help with players sitting out because of the players going into the draft?"
Maybe. I think the NIL has kind of changed that too. Where
I do too.
More players are staying. They're obviously opting out of bowl games.
Yep.
Which
I can't hate on them for that.
No, I don't blame them at all for that. It's a different world, and I miss the old world. But at the same time, the old world, my Illini basketball team stunk. So, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. Any other thoughts on the changing college athletics?
No,
right now
it seems like it's a major change every single year. Something happens that's just going to make things different. I fear change.
Before we move on to the NFL schedule release, we got about 9 minutes here. I just saw here on Twitter, Braden Smith's official measurements at combine.
Let me hear it. 5'9",
10 and 1/4.
Oh, that's a good deal for him.
Weighs 166.6, wingspan of 6'3 1/4, standing reach of 7'9.5.
That, honestly, not that bad. No. I thought he was gonna be closer to 5'8", honestly. Wagler today measured at 6'5", but his wingspan was only 6'6", so that might drop him a spot or two.
Have him go back to college.
That's what I say. I think he needs to come back. I don't think they have the money to get him back. But.
NFL schedule release Thursday. They always make a big deal about it. It is fun from a fan standpoint. If you're looking to go to a game, you can kind of try to plan that out. With the Broncos schedule every year, I just look like if they're playing the Dolphins or playing the Bills, like this year they are, but they're at home. If one of those was on the road, I always check, okay, when is it? Because I don't want to play Miami in September.
Yeah.
I don't want to play Buffalo in December. But since they're both at home, I don't care. But the Broncos schedule, I mean, they play the NFC West and the AFC East. So, and then your division winners. So pretty difficult this year from a strength of schedule standpoint. We know some things have been released. The Cowboys open up against the Giants, the first Sunday night game of the year. And then they have another primetime game week 3. I'm already getting Cowboys fatigue.
Yeah. Yeah. They love themselves some NFC East. Enough with so many foreign games. I mean, you're starting in Australia now this year. It's oversaturated. I love the NFL. I like it on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday. I don't want it on Wednesdays. I don't want them on Fridays. It's too much sometimes.
I honestly think they should just do 16 international games. They could find spots for them. Do 8 home games, 8 road games, 1 neutral game. If you keep expanding it, so might as well just do that. There's been a couple other games within the last 7 minutes. Adam Schefter reported Buffalo's going to host the Lions at the Bills' new stadium Thursday night football week 2.
Okay.
And Adam Schefter believes, nothing official, that the Bears and Seahawks will be the season opener.
Season opener. All right.
He believes that's not officially announced.
One thing I'm very much looking forward to this Dolphin season is I don't have to watch them on primetime. Likely. They might get a Thursday, but they're not getting they're obviously not going to get a Sunday. Might not even get a Monday. And I'm very okay with watching them at noon every single Sunday. That's okay with me.
A couple comments here. When you were talking about NIL, Ray Davis said now got into Indiana high school sports. A little with paying.
Indiana did say they're not going to adopt the shot clock, Ohio, which I think is wrong.
They got one got thumbs up, one got the thumbs down, and then Ray says National Football League, not the International Football League. Yeah.
Agreed.
It's a global game, though. Yeah. Looks like they all are trying to become. But I don't have really anything else with the schedule release. I knew it was coming up, so I thought I would throw it out there. Lastly, PGA Championship taking place in Pennsylvania this week.
So has the Liv folded yet, or is it still hanging on by a thread?
It's through this year, and then if they don't get funding somewhere else away from the PIF, which they won't, it will fold. And then I don't know what's going to happen to a lot of guys. No idea.
Yeah, PGA could hold a pretty strong grudge against them.
It could. Sure. I think there's only a handful they want back anyways.
Yeah.
So, your betting odds favorite, Scottie Scheffler, then Rory McIlroy, Cameron Young, John Rahm, Bryson DeChambeau, Xander Schauffele. That rounds out the top there. Who are you taking?
This will be the J-Man bookie prediction of the week. Bryson's getting it done for sure. And you can take it to the bank. J-Man's bookie prediction of the week brought to you by Travis Watchering, insurance agency for life, home, auto, business, renters, workers' comp, and farm insurance. Contact Travis 219-869-4561.
156 players in the field this week. You know, one thing that does not get discussed enough because he's trying for like his ninth time. If Jordan Spieth wins this, he wins a career Grand Slam.
Really?
And nobody talks about it because he's been trying to since 2017.
Yeah.
Because he can start off so hot. Yeah. Of course, you know, I mean, it's not – Rory already got the Grand Slam, but he's on a heater. A lot of these guys. But I'm going to do it. I'm taking my boy Ricky Fowler to win his first major. He is playing good golf right now.
Interesting.
I think this is as good a time as ever.
That would be quite a story to do it. You know, 37 years old.
Yep, and he's been close many times. He last three tournaments, all top 10 finishes, including a tied for runner-up yesterday, which he started the day seven shots back, and then at one time on the back nine had a solo lead.
Wow.
I just had, unfortunately, missed a short birdie on 16, bogeyed hole 18, lost by two strokes. There was nobody else between him and the leader. He was tied with another guy. But it made me as a fan feel better knowing that he lost to a guy 15 under when he was 13 instead of getting to 14 and being only one stroke back, you know what I'm saying, from a playoff. Mm-hmm. So he's at 50-1 odds. Not terrible. He's got better than Spieth. Spieth 66-1. So why not? Why not? He's playing good golf. Why not now? So make some putts and see what happens. But, it's crazy to think the second major of the year is already upon us.
Yeah, I can't. It snuck up on me. Master snuck up on me, though. So it's not surprising.
But anything else you want to discuss?
Anything else I want to add? No, I don't think so. Birdie bogey, though. I got to remember what the question was.
And Ray Davis said, go Fleetwood. Tommy Fleetwood would be one that a lot of – he's 22-1 odds. A lot of fans would like that. He's a fan favorite.
Yeah. Can you name the city with the most people in it that does not have one of the four major sports leagues in it?
I believe I can. Okay. I hope my memory served me correct here. Austin, Texas.
It is Austin, Texas. It is. Man, you're killing me this year.
When I saw that, actually, my dad saw it too because he gave me the question.
Ah.
A week or two ago, whenever it was. Yeah. My first guess was Louisville.
Oh, that's a good guess, too. Yeah. Austin, I think, has over 1 million people.
Yeah, it's sneaky. So. You don't think about it.
No.
You think about, I mean, even though it's the state capital, and it's the University of Texas right there, you think of Houston, Dallas, and then San Antonio just because of
it. Definitely.
I didn't realize San Antonio's as big as it is.
San Antonio's, I think that's about 1 million people, too.
Yeah.
So, there's...
Yeah,
but so. You have a commanding four-stroke lead. You're up to even. This has got to be the furthest into a year we've gotten where one of us has been at even or better.
It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt when it all comes crumbling down.
No, I got nothing in my brain on Monday nights anymore, so I think you'll just keep
– Ray was asking what four sports.
In NBA, MLB, NHL. What's the one I'm missing? NFL?
Yeah.
So that is kind of surprising they don't have one. Of course – Texas is so huge.
They got enough.
The University of Texas is so big that it's pretty much a professional sports.
True.
But thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show. We'll be back at her next Monday. Have a fantastic week, everybody.
Go Avalanche.